Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. Today, you find us in a series on the book of Galatians. Nearly everything we want in life is something we work hard to earn. If we are not careful, we can think that salvation and relationship with God are to be earned as well. It is easy to get caught in a trap thinking we have to do enough to earn God's love. The truth is quite the opposite. God's love and grace are a free gift. The Apostle Paul emphasizes this in the book of Galatians, and it is a truth his original readers needed long ago and that we certainly need to hear today. Follow along, and we hope you enjoy this message.
All right, well, today, if y'all know me, I'm Caleb. I think I've seen most of y'all already. I taught a couple weeks ago. I'm a college intern here for this semester as I'm studying youth ministry at North Greenville. Requires me to have an internship, and here I am trying to serve and learn about students with you guys. If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 4, verse 12. So we're going to start, and while I'll turn there, I'm going to open us in prayer, and then we'll get into God's Word. Dear God, thank you for this time that we get to come and worship you here today. I pray that everything we do here brings glory to you, and that as the students go out from here and into their small groups and into their schools with their friends, that they just bring glory to you in everything that they do, and that they're able to apply the things that they learn in the message and in small group to their daily life to just grow in fruit with you and just grow in their relationship with you. Amen. All right. So verse 12, if you're still need to get there, raise your hand. If you got it, we're good? All right. Starting in verse 12, Paul writes, "Brothers, I entreat with you because as I am, for I also have become as you, one. As you won. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth?" And this is the
first part of the passage. We're going to look at it a little more later, but here, we get a lot of context for Paul's relationship with the Galatians, which is, we've been studying the Galatians for about 4 or 5 weeks now, I think, is that correct? Right? And we've been talking a lot about how the Galatians, how Paul wrote a letter to challenge the Galatians in a lot of their, how they've changed from the ways that he originally taught. I taught like 3 weeks ago about the law and how the Galatians had begun following the Jewish tradition, and they've really gotten into the law a lot, and they're like, you have to do the law because the term we have is Jesus plus anything equals nothing. So Jesus plus the law equals nothing. And Paul is coming to challenge them and write that Jesus plus nothing equals everything and bringing them back to the way that he was teaching them originally. Here, Paul writes about how, and when he originally went to the Galatians, he was, as he's right in the scripture, he says he was really sick and they still received him openly and they were happy to see him and hear the word and they accepted it. But now, because they've fallen into the Jewish tradition of they have to uphold the law and do all these things to be right with Jesus, they've kind of shunned Paul away. But even because they did those things, Paul, out of the love that he has for them, because Paul kind of is like a mentor to the Galatians, which is the main idea we're going to talk about today, is that he has a lot of love for the Galatians, that he wants them to succeed in their walk with the Lord. And that he sees them struggling with the things that they're struggling with the law, that it's become such a burden for him that he wants them to grow and that he wants to call them back to being with the Lord. So I'm going to move on to verse 17. It says, "They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, and they want to make much of them. That you make much of them. It is always good to make much for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I'm perplexed about you." Verse 17, Paul writes that I refer to them as the Jewish traditionalist, that they are making much of them, but for no good purpose. Not for the purpose to glorify the Lord and to bring honor and glory to him. Paul's sitting here, and that's what he wants for them. Like, he loves them so much that what's he doesn't want to see them fall and fail. He wants to see them bring glory to the Lord and like grow in their relationship with him. That's why he wrote the letter. Like we've talked the whole letter, you look back at anything, he's challenging them to grow in every way. He's trying to walk with them and guide and mentor and lead them through all these struggles that they're going through. So, I mean, with the law, they're struggling with, I need to hold the law and love Jesus, which we talked about a lot. Like, it's just your relationship with Jesus. And I refer to it as the MIT. It's your most important thing is to walk with the Lord. Everything else is secondary to that. You don't need that to become right with the Lord. So Paul, throughout all the Galatians and most of the letters and epistles in the New Testament, is what he's doing. He's a great example of a mentor throughout the entire Bible of what it looks like to walk with somebody and lead them and grow and to help challenge them in their relationship with Christ. He cares so much that in verse 19, he talks about in the anguish of childbirth. I don't have any experience with that, but I know it hurts a lot. All right? You can ask your parents or your mom, not your dad, and I'm sure they can tell you it's not fun. But Paul is in anguish of childbirth for their spiritual health. That is how much that he truly cares, right? He wants them to succeed, and he really wants to see their growth in the Lord. Paul wants to make a good purpose of them, right? As like compared to the Jews, the Jewish traditionalists, they want to make no good purpose of them. Paul wants to make a good purpose of them. In your life, you want to find mentors for you guys that make a good purpose of you with the relationship with the Lord, right? I don't know if you guys have a mentor. That's something you're going to talk about in small groups and something to think about right now before you go there is, do you have a mentor in your life, right? Is there somebody that you can go to, preferably older in life, that's more experienced in life and more experienced in faith? Right, somebody that has done life and walked with the Lord for a certain, like a good amount of time, there's a gap between you two that they can give wisdom to you, like Paul to the Galatians. Paul was Saul, and his life was completely changed. Right, y'all know about that. Paul was Saul. Saul was executing Christians left and right, and then Jesus changed his life, and he became Christian. And as he grew a lot, he started bringing people along. One of the example that I turned to the most would be Paul and Timothy, right? Paul wrote two books just to Timothy to talk about and disciple him and grow him as a mentor relationship, right? When y'all look at it, I want all of you to think about someone and find someone who's ahead in life of you, who you can go to and build a relationship that they can pour into your life, right? The Christian life is challenging. It's not easy. There's a lot of struggles and challenges. But bringing people alongside who challenge you and care as much as Paul cares about the Galatians for your spiritual health is almost like essential. I would say you need it, argue that you need it. You need somebody that you can look to and have that you can bring alongside. And say you make a mess up, like the Galatians here messed up, and can call you out and be like, hey, this is not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do X. This is how you're supposed to grow in faith. This is what you need to do. And challenge and love you enough that it brings them pain when you do this thing, like Paul. He just cares so much that it just hurts him to see what they're doing. So keep thinking about somebody in your life. I'm going to give a personal example for me. So what this looks like for my life, I was sitting with y'all. I was a student at my church back home in Columbia. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. I got a mentor, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I have someone I can look up to. It's like my pastor. Yeah, he leads me in church. But I didn't have a personal relationship with my pastor. Like, we didn't meet and talk about any of the things. He just preached the word to me, which is good. But that's not the mentor in my life that I needed. So through being in small groups, then my mentor ended up being a guy named Christian, who was my small group leader from 6th to 10th grade, and then not 11th, but 12th grade, he was my small group leader again. But in my life of like going to public school, there was a few times that I did things that, and he knew them, that I didn't need to do. They weren't glorifying the Lord. And I was just doing them because I wanted to fit in with the other kids at school. And in that, he would come into my life and be like, hey, Caleb, I know you're doing this. And I know this is like why you're doing it. This isn't good. And would point me to the Bible and like, here, we're talking about it. Instead of doing this and going out and having fun with their friends because you want to do this and sin in this way, the Bible calls us to do this, right? Because a Christian in my life, I was able to learn and grow because he cared that I would be walking with the Lord. He cared about my spiritual walk as much as I did. And sometimes I think he cared about it more than I cared about it. That he came alongside me as I was going through struggles of growing and learning about what it meant to walk with the Lord. He came alongside me and was like, hey, you need to be reading your Bible. You need to be growing and learning what the Lord is teaching, not just from the pastor teaching it to me on the stage, but I need to learn it and grow in my relationship with the Lord individually. Hey, you need to come to small group and actually like communicate and share what you're learning with my small group buddies and learn what it's like to be in a community of Christians and like actually grow in my relationship with the Lord together. He challenged me to go out and do mission trips. I went to the Dominican Republic in my freshman year, and the two people were both my mentors, with my dad and Christian, were both the reason that I went on that trip is because they pushed me and like, hey, you need to go on this trip to stretch my comfort zone. I mean, I'd never been out of the country before when I went to the Dominican Republic. It really opened my eyes to what serving the Lord actually looks like and how I need to step out in faith to grow and let him use me. Because I was so worried that it'd be all on me. Like, it's me. I have to do all the work. And if I'm not good enough, then I'm going to mess up, which I'm not good enough. But the Lord can still use me as a vessel to go out and share the gospel with those people in the Dominican Republic. And the only way that I was able to do that is because of my mentors and how they pushed me, like, the next step. They kept leading me and guiding me. And they both went on the trip. So it was even easier for me. It's like, they're there. And if I have a problem on this trip, I can go to these guys. Those two people, Christian and my dad, were the people that were, if I need something, if I'm struggling with something, like sin-wise, that I could go to those people and I could be, hey, I'm dealing with this. What do I do? I need help. I need prayer. I need, like, comfort. Right? And Paul is trying to be the same thing for the Galatians here. Like, he is the person. He's mentoring them. He's coming alongside them. Now, here in the Galatians, they're not really coming to him to ask for help like I was going to Christian. But he's still giving it anyways because he cares that much. And that's on burden on his heart that he cares about those people so much that he wants them to grow in their relationship with the Lord and that them falling away from that is hurting his heart so much. That's why he writes the letter, I think. I mean, he writes the epistle because it's the burden. He wants them to see them grow. He wants to see them succeed in their relationship with the Lord and help others succeed. So I would challenge y'all to think, who is a mentor in your life? And if you don't have a mentor, who can be a mentor, right? Who is somebody in your life? It could be a small group leader. I think small group leaders are prime examples of mentors because they are here serving the Lord, already trying to grow in their relationship with the Lord, and they're here because they care about you. Every single small group leader you have is here because they care about you. They love you. That's why they're here, right? And if it's not your small group leader, for some of you, it could be your parents. Like, your parents are invested in your relationship with the Lord, and they want to see you succeed. So they can come alongside you. Look at your parents as a mentor. Maybe it's a family friend. It could be anybody that you think cares about your spiritual health and wants to see you succeed. And if you don't have a mentor and you don't think you know of one you can, I would ask you to talk to your small group leader to try and find or figure out who could be a mentor for you. Because I want to see you guys growing in your relationship with the Lord, right? And a way to get challenged is through a mentor. Just like Paul and Timothy, as Paul brought Timothy into his life and Paul already ahead in his spiritual walk brought Timothy into that and developed him into a leader as he is in the New Testament and planting churches because Paul brought him alongside. So as y'all go in small groups and as you guys go out this week, I challenge y'all to look at who in your life is a mentor and who can be a mentor. I think there's benefit to y'all having multiple mentors too, right? You don't need just one person, multiple people. So I challenge y'all to look at that and see who in life can be a mentor.